morning. And welcome to First Congregational Church. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are most welcome here. Bobby, we got to fix this one too. Let's bring this one up. These are last second help. And I'm going to pop up there while he finishes that, because I have everything written down. All right, don't look at Bobby, listen to me. It's like school. First of all, it's great to be back. Thank you for all of your cards and texts and emails, and I'm feeling better every day. So I'm very pleased with that. But let's get to what's going on. Today, from 3 to 5 p.m., we have Family Ministries Bowling. We have a few openings. If you'd like to come to Spare Time in Northampton, you are welcome to do so. It's all paid. So just come and we'll make things happen. That will be great. And that's at Spare Time Bowling in Northampton today from 3 to 5. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we will resume The Chosen. So that's tomorrow at 10 o'clock. If you haven't been with us but you'd like to come, you are most welcome to do so. Also, tomorrow is our last indoor lunch with the Westfield Food Pantry. I would like to thank all of our volunteers who made that happen. Thank you so much. People came, we had also volunteers from other churches who came in. So it was a great partnership with the Westfield Food Pantry. And what a wonderful opportunity for our church to offer that hospitality. So thank you all so very much. Speaking of hospitality, last night, or actually over the last 2 days, we hosted around 200 people who were in with the Westfield Historical Commission. Cindy and I were able to take part in this, and it was a lot of fun, very educational. I learned all about General Philip Schuyler, and because I read him 4 times. So, but anyhow, we were able to do that as part of the celebration of our country's 250th anniversary. So thank you to those who made it happen, to Alan who made the sanctuary happen, to Roy who got left with stuff afterwards, and anybody who made all of this happen. Thank you very much. But it's a wonderful way. Our church gets very many compliments because every time we host something, someone said, "I've never been here." And I keep saying to them, why? You should. Sunday mornings at 9:30. So, we'll keep that. If you are reading on Thursday, Martha Roman has asked that we be here at 6:30. And we always do what Martha Roman tells us to do. So, we're going to be here on Thursday at 6:30. Everyone else is welcome to come and join us. Our Maundy Thursday service is at 7:30 p.m. here. 7:30 here at First Congregational Church. I tried to do the announcements in order, in chronological order, but tomorrow is the last day to order Easter flowers. So at least get the form filled out. Cindy LaPlante will know exactly who you are and she'll make sure she gets your money. So, but please, if you fill out the form for the Easter flowers. After church today, our thrift shop will be open. Our thrift shop will be open for a little while after church today. And we would be remiss if we did not welcome back our sister Amy. So welcome back, Amy. This is wonderful. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your worship guide. Give thanks to God, for God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
I say that song endures forever.
Please join me in the opening hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, in the blue hymnal number 227.
Joys of living. May we remember the excitement that comes with following Christ. Bless these funeral palms, O God of comfort. May they remind us of the road that lies ahead. May they encourage us in times of grief and pain. We give you thanks for the parade and the processional. Guide our steps through this holiest of weeks, as we cry out together, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Let's repeat that. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. You may put those down. And at this time, I ask that you please join me in a prayer of confession, is found in your worship guide. O God, we stand at the gate, hesitant and uncertain. We are reluctant to answer your invitation. We are slow to embark on the journey toward your reign. Forgive us, we pray. Grant us the help we need to be your people, the courage to join you in the procession, the selflessness to lay our cloaks before you, we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, hear this good news. The procession is ever moving forward. We can join at any given moment. The invitation still stands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes to us from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city stirred. "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Passion of the Lord according to Matthew.
One of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked,
"What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?"
So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord."
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born."
"Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
"This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee."
"Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will."
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times."
"Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you."
And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled.
"My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me."
Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping.
"Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
He went away a second time and prayed,
"My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done."
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them.
"The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Greetings, Rabbi."
"Do what you came for, friend."
Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
"Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward.
"This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.
Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus,
"Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?"
But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him,
"I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
"You have said so. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming." coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
He is worthy of death.
Then they spat in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him.
You also were with Jesus of Galilee.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.
I don't know that man.
Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.
I don't know that man.
Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders.
I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood.
What is that to us? That's your responsibility.
So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
You have said so.
When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer.
Don't you hear the testimony they bring against you?
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner named Barabbas.
Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed.
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
Barabbas!
What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?
Crucify him!
Why? What crime has he committed?
Crucify him!
When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility.
His blood is on us and on our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews.
Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross, if you are the Son of God."
In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him.
"He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said,
"Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him."
And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed,
"Surely he was the Son of God."
Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he had asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate.
"Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go out and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first."
"Take a guard. Go. Make the tomb as secure as you know how."
So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to be slightly unorthodox, and I'm going to invite you all to stand for 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Those who need a stretch break, you've sat for a long time. Choir about to stand, so I figured you could too. And I sat out there the other day, so I know what it feels like. Be seated when you're ready. The message today speaks for itself in our readings. As we celebrate Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, and there's an explanation that's right there in our worship guide that explains what we bring when we talk about Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. My message for all of us today is this. Please take that worship guide home with you today. This week, more than ever. And I'd like for all of us to spend some time with Matthew's Gospel in the Passion reading this week. I highly encourage everyone who is able to join us on Thursday evening at 7:30 as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we commemorate in a tenebrae service the last words of Christ, so that when we gather together next Sunday on Easter, we do it in joy. We do it faith-filled. And we do it renewing our relationship with the risen Christ. Amen. At this time, I am going to ask you to please pray with me as we remember those prayer requests that are listed in our worship guide. We pray, of course, for our world in the turmoil that is all over the place. That peace may reign, a peaceful solution may come, and may it come soon before more are injured and killed. We pray for our country's leaders. We pray for our region. We pray for our cities and towns and those who lead us. And we pray for our church right here and for our church leaders. And of course, as we do each week, we remember those prayers and intentions that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. Gracious and loving God, in the journey of life, you are our guide and our companion. From our beginning to our end, you are there. You run this race alongside us, at times encouraging us, at times comforting us, at times tending to our wounds, at times carrying us when we don't think we can take another step. For 6 weeks, we have been on a Lenten journey, and you have been right here with us in our discipline and devotion, with us in our weakness and failure, with us in our fear, and with us in our hope. As we spend this final week with Jesus in Jerusalem, we are amazed once again by his gentle spirit and fierce determination. As he confronts those who challenge him, he confronts our own stubbornness and our own defiant wills. As he cares even for those who hate him, we are challenged to love as he loves. As he bears witness to the emergence of your kingdom, our eyes are open to your presence all around us. And as Jesus moves with with the resolve toward his dark destiny, we find ourselves struggling to understand why it has to be this way. God, the journey is not just about the destination. It is about each step along the way. The journey itself is a blessing with all its joys and sorrows. As we run this race, you are shaping us into a new people. As we move with you, we are continually born anew. Help us to be attentive to each step, in the darkness and in the light. Help us to fully experience all that we encounter, the good and the bad. For in it all, we discover you. Though the race of life goes on, our Lenten journey is nearing its conclusion. Bind us ever closer to Christ, so that we may turn our hearts and minds to all that he experienced in the crucible of this Holy Week, a week both terrible and wonderful. Amen. My friends, God is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever and ever. Because of God's love, we cherish and give thanks for every good gift in our lives. Today, on this day God has made, we come to share out of the abundance of God's love and light among us, so that the world may know this boundless love that knows no end. With this, our morning offering will now be received.
Shine forth as the sun in every corner of the trail. Shine forth as the sun.
alms on the road, so we share these gifts out of abundance you have provided. May they be for the healing, salvation, and work of justice you are bringing about in the world through your unending love. Amen and amen. God's love endures forever.